guys. This is Taste Masters with your hosts, David and Wyatt. All right, guys. This episode, happy 4th of July. We're releasing this on 4th of July, or week of, trying to celebrate Independence Day. And we're actually recording this one on June 19th, which happens to be Juneteenth.
Yeah.
Which is a nice little, should be, I think it should be, national holiday.
Should definitely be a national holiday.
So for those who don't know, Juneteenth, it's when Abe Lincoln came out with the Emancipation Proclamation in January, I guess it became an executive order on January 1st, 1863. Then 2.5 years later, or a year and a half later, 2.5 years, you said...
It was two and a half years.
2.5 years later, yeah. Then Texas got word of it.
Finally, the slaves in Texas learned that they were free.
Mm-hmm.
They'd been free for 2.5 years, but no one knew. So
that was June 19th, 1865. Beautiful. So it's kind of cool that we're talking about Independence Day on another Independence Day. I think we both should be celebrated, rightfully so.
Yeah, I think it would be a great addition to all the fun summer holidays. Mm-hmm. And I would say it's an important day, man.
Without question, because if you think about it, Independence Day and July 4th, 1776, independence from fucking Britain.
Yeah.
So why isn't there another one? Yeah. That just makes sense to me.
Right, agreed. But, I don't know.
That's what brings us to kind of what we're doing this episode is just kind of 4th of July. Freedom episode. We want to talk about beers that, to us, we think kind of captivate the 4th of July holiday. For us right now, and talk about kind of traditional style beers as well.
Yeah, traditional, like American beers.
Yeah,
which I think is interesting. Like when you say traditional American beers, people are like Budweiser. Let's go.
But you think of it, they always like Pabst, you know, Budweiser, yeah. Schilt's, Iron City beer. You know, they have all that, the Spit beer, Coors, Miller.
Yeah.
You know, like, we have Michelob in front of us. You know, like, that's beer that people think.
I'm pouring a PBR right now.
I mean, that's one of the old ones. PBR, for those who don't know, Pabst PBR, it gets a bad rap, but it is good. Came out first brewed 1844. It is the hipster's beer. And it's one that...
It's my favorite of the light beers.
It's a go-to.
Yeah.
I mean, Cody and I were talking about this the other day. It's one of his, like, ones that he first got turned into. I judged people when I first saw this. When people were drinking Pabst, I'm drinking PBR.
Yeah.
Oh, that's shame on you almost. You know what I mean?
Right.
Mm. But it's,
dude, such like just bringing it up to my mouth. I didn't even bother like trying to get the nose, but I caught that whiff and it reminded me of like college.
But you're telling me,
such a good beer.
Summer barbecue, 4th of July barbecue. You're telling me that across America, there's not Pabst being drunk. Partaken of.
I don't know, man. It's what I'm going to drink. Dude.
And it has kind of like a negative connotation with it.
Yeah.
It has kind of like a rednecky vibe to it, which is...
Right. Like,
I
you're either
wrong.
A redneck or a hipster if you drink Pabst. But
I
feel like...
Wrong.
Like, this is fucking America, and you're free to do whatever the fuck you want to do. Yeah. If you want to drink Pabst, fucking drink Pabst.
Yeah, you're right. I can't ignore that.
Right? I'm not going to look down on you for drinking Pabst. You want to know why? Because I'll be drinking a Pabst, too.
Right in front of you.
Either the Pabst that I have will be from you, or the Pabst that you have will be from me.
That's true. Yeah, absolutely. But why? Let's open a second one while we're at it. So we have according to the can.
Dude, that's such a good beer. So refreshing, man.
Oh, it is.
And, like, nothing about it tastes bad. Like, you get some beers that, like, something about it will taste off.
Off, yeah.
And that's how I feel when I drink a lot of, like, the big-name light beers. I never get that with Pabst. Pabst just always tastes like fresh and crisp. It always tastes fresh. That's what surprised me. It's brewed in Milwaukee, but it always tastes fresh. I'm always like it's like came right off the tap at the brewery. Like right
out
of the tank.
But it comes out of a can. I'm curious to see what it comes off the tank. I would love to try.
Dude, trip to Milwaukee?
Let's go.
So
why? What are you pouring us next?
Miller Lite.
So, again, another beer that kind of has a negative connotation to it.
It's a fine Pilsner beer.
It says on the can, fine Pilsner beer. But to me, I think Miller Lite or Coors, and I think beer fucking pong. Beer pong episode.
Dude, my beer pong beer is Miller High Life, man.
That's a champagne of beer. Champagne of beers. See, you are a fancy bougie. See,
yeah, I'm getting real fucking fancy with the champagne of beers over. That's right. Over a you're over here drinking a very fine pilsner.
A fine pilsner. It's not very Pinkies fine. Pinky's up fine, but you're over here champagne of beer.
Like fucking champagne of beer. Yeah.
Which again, I think frat parties when I think Miller Lite.
You know, I look at Miller Lite almost in the same way I look at Modelo.
Oh.
I haven't had one in a long time, actually.
We should put one back-to-back. Now that you bring that up, that's a great...
Yeah, dude, it reminds me of Modelo.
Yeah. I think Modelo has a slight more malt taste to it.
Yeah.
This one,
yeah.
The character, the floral characteristic is a lot more...
It's a pilsner, and pilsners are supposed to be boring, and it's a boring beer. I mean, it's, like, crushable as fuck. Like on
super crushable.
Crushability scale, higher than the PBR, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, like...
But I go PBR
over
this.
Fuck me if it's not at least a 9.5.
I go PBR over this.
Yeah, yeah. But, like, this beer, especially in this can, the light, like, the white can with the light and something about this can, I don't like this beer on tap, but I love it out of the can. It's, like, the same scenario for me as Modelo. And, like, I just want to be playing dominoes and maybe eat some tacos with some lingua or something. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It's Modelo and fucking
so this one's middle. Younger than Pabst by about 100 years. Holy this shit. One first brewed 1974.
Oh yeah, is this the Vietnam beer? This
it's called the frat party beer.
Yeah,
okay. It's like the slang for it. But I mean, this is one of the biggest light beer names out there.
Yeah, I think it's recently been surpassed by Michelob Ultra. Mm-hmm. And that's because they've got their low calorie.
But Mick's got that whole low calorie, yeah. Low carb. But going off of that, I say we open our third one for fun.
Dude, just smashing beers today, huh?
And then, Wyatt, you are going to teach us something that I'm not actually familiar with.
Yeah. We're going to talk about, like, some actual... Because, like, all of these so far are like, yeah, these are fucking American.
Right.
Grab a key, let's shotgun these motherfuckers. Like,
right.
You know, beer pong. Like, we think of them as, like, American frat parties. This is the American beer. But, like, PBR was made by German immigrants. Miller was made by German immigrants. Fucking uh-huh. Budweiser. Tell me Budweiser doesn't sound fucking German. Like all these beers that were, like, our traditional American beers are all made by German immigrants. It's like, are they really American? Because the German recipes made by, you know, traditionally German peoples. Originally, I guess.
Right.
So, I want to talk about, like, some traditional... beers, because like we've talked about the history of beers, and we very briefly brushed over like American beer history, I think in our second episode.
Yeah, our first three episodes were huge on history.
So today I wanted to go over a little bit more in depth of like the very traditional American beers, and by traditional I mean like made by the people who didn't like who lived here for thousands of years, you know, before our ancestors ever got here. And maybe some of them were your ancestors, you know?
Yeah. I mean, you're bringing up that while you're pouring that. So right now, let me stop you right there, Wyatt. You're pouring the Granary Keller beer from Templin Family. So TF Brewing has one. You can get the stores, their Keller beer. It's a nice lager with some cereal and fresh bread notes. And I haven't actually had this one. But this one, I mean, is in a selection, and I had to have it because we have to have it. I guess Templin Family for his Zwickel beer, and that was their going on this one. But this one has a heavy nose on
it. This is supposed to be a Zwickel beer.
Yeah.
Because Zwickel is, doesn't it mean like young? So it's like a lager that isn't lagered for quite as long as a lager usually is.
And it's a typical German beer.
Yeah. Because like lagering is... the process, I don't know if we've gone over what lagering is. Lagering is a process. When you make a lager, lagers are made fermented at colder temperatures with a lager yeast that's a bottom fermenting yeast, whereas like ales are warmer temperatures, top fermenting yeast, very, you know, easy to like specify the difference. Lagers take a lot longer because it's cold, so the yeast like takes more time. Think right. Like when you're cold, you don't want to move as much. When it's hot, you're like down to go for a run or whatever. Zwickel beers just means young. So, like, let's say it takes 6 weeks to lager a beer or longer to make your typical pilsner. A Zwickel beer, you're going to take it out at, like, a week or 2 weeks. So it's just younger. And so usually it's going to have some more harsh flavors. It hasn't had a chance to kind of smooth out and get like, I don't know, that typical like crispy, kind of like
it's
always
gonna
cold.
It's going to be weaker is the word I'm coming from, in a sense. Because of that longer.
Yeah. It doesn't have, like it can be a little more sharp, but not crisp. Yeah. I think, correct me if I'm wrong, I'm going off
memory.
No,
you're right. It's cool lagering. So that, because of that, it's defined as like a cellar beer. So because it's cool, like when it's like that, this has come from Middle Ages. Like this is old school kind of recipes. But you're completely right on that. And I haven't had their version, but this is a local one that you can get. Mm. I'm curious to know, you know.
And it's just a little more, to me, like lagers usually finish really crisp. And it's like at the end, it's a finish, right? These to me are like sharp, like you drink it and it's like boom, sharp, and then it's kind of like smooth to finish, and then it always has a little bit of like a lingering,
like a bite almost,
yeah, like a lingering kind of bite.
Yeah, you're right. But not, I mean, good though. I like this
I'm not
one.
Against it.
No. I like this one. I think it's a good great beer. I think it's a good I would barbecue this. To me, I would. It's like a sit on the patio kind of chill, you know, potato salad.
Yeah,
it's a good one.
Yeah,
but going back to the immigrant comment we made earlier. So I just know one of my favorite, let me give you a memory for this. This is what this kind of, we talking about Templin family and the German style beer. My grandfather was part, on my mom's side, he was part German, and he lived in Germany for a couple of years, and he spoke German. He was in the, he was in the military out there.
That's
so
cool.
He, you know, he was stationed out there.
What years was this?
Oh man, you're going to have, I don't, it was probably, I want to say
50s. Oh, okay.
So,
I was like, was it in like the 40s?
No, I don't think. I think it was after World War II. But anywho, he always talked about one of my favorite memories and vacations was when I was 8 years old or 10. My grandfather was the professor of journalism. He was a journalism professor at BYU, and he taught a workshop in a class, took his students out in New York, and they lived in New York during a summer and kind of like had this internship thing out there. And my mother put my young ass, and I remember flying by myself from Salt Lake all the way to JFK by myself. Whoa. I remember like the pilot offering me to go see the plane. Anyway, I can go a long story.
Do you want to come see the cockpit, buddy?
Oh, yeah, I didn't. I got that, and I denied it, and I wish I didn't because
what?
I know. I was scared.
Yeah,
I was terrified. Yeah. You know, being by myself, I had no idea what to do.
Don't talk to strangers.
Exactly.
Good for you.
I had the host, or what's it called? The airline attendant. It was always with me, whatever. And I got the little cute wings that everyone gets, the kids get. I got that.
A little pin-on stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
Anyway, long story short, I remember Grandpa taking me and Grandma taking me to the Statue of Liberty.
Oh, cool.
And the Statue of Liberty growing up was, when you go to New York, you have to see the Empire State Building. You have to see the Statue of Liberty. Like, that's just what you have to. Madison Square Garden. Right.
Yeah.
And I remember going to that, and then there's this big-ass island, kind of like a ferry-looking thing. And there's a huge Ferris wheel.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what the hell is that? It's called Ellis Island. And Grandpa told me that he said, if it wasn't for Ellis Island, we wouldn't be here. And I never understood that. I didn't get that. And come to find out later, you know, over between 1892 to 1954, according to my stats, over 12 million people passed through Ellis Island.
Wow.
And that includes Russians, French, Spanish, Dutch, English, you know, traders, missionaries, you name it.
Yeah.
People came to America to start anew. And that's what, to me, being an American is. In a way, a 4th of July, you know, kind of 4th of July kind of humbles you where you got to kind of remember your independence.
Yeah.
But America started by immigrants, like, you know, what we are today. Yeah. However, even go back before the immigrants became in America, we had Native Americans, which I think have been thrown to the side and forgotten.
Oh, it's
which
tragic,
is so
dude.
Sad.
Tragic.
Because, and ironic, not ironically, but funny enough, my grandparents, the same grandparents, they lived on the Navajo Reservation in southern Utah for 2 years. They lived with the Navajos, and they got to know the community.
Yeah.
They got to teach them, and I got to go and learn about the Navajo Nation.
That's cool, dude.
And I fell in love with Native American culture.
Yeah. The Navajo culture is beautiful.
And so when I straighten my hair, because I have my long curly hair, when I straighten it, I look Native American because I'm a melting pot. I am a different race, a bunch of different races together. And that's what's beautiful about America, that. But I secretly have always wanted to be a Native American. And I said that to my father, and my father said, you're Mexican. Like, that Native Americans, Mexicans, like that's more closely related than Germans and Russians. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so I always forget that the Native Americans. So
like Mexicans are descendants of what, like Inca, not Incas, Aztecs.
Aztecs and Mayans.
Mayans, yeah.
And, you know, you throw in the Spaniards coming down.
Right. And I'm sure there are plenty of like, Navajo people.
I guarantee, dude.
And that like lived in that, you know, mm-hmm. Arizona, New Mexico, Utah, and Mexico. That's, you know, where like the Navajo right. peoples
so
were.
It's weird for to me to like think about it. And we've all like, every race has like their border.
Yeah.
But in reality, it's kind of like a blend. Yeah. You got to think about
especially, it. Especially a lot of the Native American peoples, because a lot of them were like nomadic tribes. And so, you know, like they had like their general territory, but right. like their territories would kind of overlap sometimes. It's pretty interesting, dude. Native American culture is super, super interesting. I think the way they fought, like recently, do I go on these weird like study tangents where like I just get interested in a subject.
Right.
And I spend like 12 hours every day, like all of my free time for like 2 or 3 weeks, just like focused on this one subject. And lately it's been like Native American, like warfare and like kind of like guerrilla war tactics. But like the Native Americans seem to do great at it. And like the way they fought and stuff, dude, is so, so interesting. And like the Apache scouts that mm-hmm, like mm-hmm. worked with the U.S. Army and then like eventually like fought the U.S. Army, dude, like, it's like movie stuff, like unrealistic to me, but like it really happened. Like they could like look at a fucking shoe print and be like, oh, this guy was like 190 pounds and carried,
that's what's beautiful.
And had a limp
it.
On his right
and
side.
It's and forgotten, dude.
Dude, it's so
it's
cool.
It's forgotten.
Such cool.
So one of my dear friends, she gave me a quote. She said that within depression and anxiety, she finds beauty. And I thought about that. And this is going to sound really off topic, but I thought about that. I'm like, what the hell does that mean? And then she looked at us, me and Holly, and she goes, with darkness, there is light.
Right.
Like, you'll find that. And so Native Americans have, like, this vast, like, knowledge of things that we don't know about because yeah. we are so in our own ways. But, like, we're all – I love how the world has gone from kind of the big-name brand, you know – medicines to like going back to like doTERRA and
yeah
and like herbal stuff
yeah
and Native Americans are probably sitting here going like, bitch, we've been doing this for generations.
We knew this all along.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
because the earth, the mother earth has stuff for us already.
She provides.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And
as long as you take care of her.
That's what's kind of humorous, because I feel like the Native yeah. Americans are sitting here going like, we
you
told
idiots.
You like we told you
yeah
it's a beautiful country you're living on, beautiful land. And be a part of it.
Yeah.
And I feel like
as that's a huge part. Is like you got to work with nature instead of against yeah. nature. And I think we're like starting to relearn that a little bit,
and
which is cool.
Humbling.
Yeah. It's super
especially
humbling,
2020. Man.
Super humbling.
Especially 2020. So you were telling me about a different recipe, beer
right.
recipe.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So we got on a tangent there. But the history of beer is super interesting. We talked about it a little bit. And it like evolved in like Mesopotamia,
right?
With like, I don't know, like the Assyrian Empire or whatever. I'm sure they had beer going on. But in Mesoamerica and like Southern America and even like the American Southwest, in the same time period, they were also discovering beer. The thing is, they didn't have the same basic grain. So like in Mesopotamia, they were developing wheat and they were developing like barley and the really the predecessors to that, like spelt and that kind of stuff.
Okay.
And then eventually like we took like grains evolved and it took them a long time to evolve different strands of rice and stuff like that. The Native Americans gave us corn. And in the American Southwest, especially like when the Pueblo started to settle down, they developed these grasses into corn instead of into, you know, they didn't get barley, they didn't get wheat, whatever. It turned into corn for them. And there's pretty interesting stories of like how they would farm. So they would always take advantage of the land as much as possible. They would grow beans, corn, and squash in the same field.
Interesting.
Right? So I don't know if you've heard about this. Super interesting. Like just the idea of like taking advantage of the land and making things work, helping things work together
right.
for your advantage mm-hmm. and the land's advantage. So the corn grows and the corn saps a lot of nutrients out of the ground.
Right.
And it takes a lot of water. Beans are a legume, so they put nitrogen back into the ground, which is primarily what corn sucks out of the ground. So they also, beans also need, I don't know if you've ever grown beans, but they need somewhere to grow, like a fence to grow up or something that they can grow
like
up.
Like attached to almost, right?
Yeah, to attach to, because they're like a vine, and they need to grow up because they need the sunlight. So you've got corn that grows. Well, if you plant beans in the same spot, then the beans grow up the stalks of corn. And so they work together because the corn needs nitrogen.
That makes sense.
Beans are a legume that provides nitrogen into the ground.
That's dope.
And the corn is growing up and the beans need somewhere to grow up, right? Both of them need a lot of water. So what would they do to help with the water? They would plant squash in the same plot of land. Squash spreads out and puts shade on the ground, right? So there's sun up above and they spread out like a vine and they're like a covering plant. I don't know if you've ever grown squash, but it spreads out a ton. It covers a lot of ground, provides shade onto the ground, which maximizes the water.
Because the water doesn't
dry out as
much. It
doesn't evaporate.
Oh my God.
So all three plants will work together.
In unison.
In unison, right? And they would use those plants, specifically the corn, was like their primary source of nutrition, and they would make
corn-based beer.
And it was super weak because corn doesn't have the right enzymes to allow beer to develop high alcohol.
Yeah, low alcohol content.
But it was super weak, but it was still beer, it was still alcohol. And I imagine it was like a similar thing. They've got pots that they've discovered. The earliest remnants, I think, are like 800 years ago. I could be wrong. That was just the number that I saw thrown around a little bit in my research, was 800 years ago. I've got a list of the tribes. 800 years ago or earlier, and it was made by the Apache, Pueblo, Navajo, and Tarahumara tribe. I don't know how to say that. I probably butchered it, and I apologize to the peoples of the Tarahumara nation. Mm-hmm. What is interesting is we talked about this a little bit before, how like we wish we could find some really truly like American beers made in
right.
the traditional American
yeah.
way by Native Americans.
Yeah.
Dude, they still make them.
But not in Utah. Well, not that we know of.
They're still made. Not that we know of in Utah.
It'd be hard to find.
But the people of the Tarahumara, I don't know how to say that, they still make those beers. Like those people will still take corn.
Traditional style?
Traditional style.
Oh, damn.
And make those beers in pots. And that's how they know those what they found in those pots, because before they thought it was just storing grains, like corn. Well, they found out based on like chemicals on the side that it was actually this corn-based beer that they're still making, because they analyzed the chemical makeup of these modern corn-based beers that are made in the same traditional way. And right. And it was like New Mexico, Arizona, Southern Utah, Northern Mexico, by those peoples, Pueblos, Navajos, Apaches.
We got to get our hands on it. If we ever go that way, dude, we need to look
up. Dude, so I continued reading. Native American breweries are making some waves in the beer industry right now. There's a few different ones that I saw mentioned. There's the Seven Clans in Asheville, North Carolina. That's run by some sisters. There's the Bow and Arrow Brewery in Albuquerque, New Mexico.
And that's New Mexico? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Dude, fuck, you already heard of it. I like it. And then there's Indian Joe, which is in Vista, California. And Indian Joe uses traditional flavorings in their beer, like prickly pear and elderberry, that are gathered on the reservation near San Diego. And they do like they actually gather. They don't just go and like,
oh my God, I want to like travel just right now, like vacay over there and just try.
Yeah, dude.
It's beautiful.
And try these like cool, like naturally flavored beers by these
and
awesome.
That are of original, that we know, like, you know what I mean? Before immigrants founded that settled America and became America, like this was original shit.
Yeah, this is what they were drinking.
Yeah.
Before Europeans, which are like what I'm like, my family is, you know, Scottish and fucking English and Danish. Like,
yeah.
Like we're European as fuck, right? My dad's right. Like sometimes like, we're 1/16th Cherokee. And I'm like, I don't know about
bullshit.
That, man.
Right.
Like I sunburned too much for that.
That's
shit.
Right. But that's awesome, but, though. But
yeah.
So you're opening one that we talked about, we haven't talked about yet. I know we broke it down. In an episode we haven't released yet for namesake, but you're opening up a Corona Familiar, which is different than a Corona Premier or an Corona Extra, because this is the Corona that comes in a brown bottle. And Wyatt and I, we always discovered, because Corona has that kind of skunky taste, that funky taste.
Yeah.
And
I always thought that was like Corona did that on purpose.
And that's what we all thought. And then we realized we put neck to neck the clear bottles, the brown bottles, it's actually to help the UV light not change the alcohol, make it skunky. So if you get Corona in clear bottles, the reason why they're skunky is because the actual sunlight has affected the taste of the beer.
It degrades the hops. And I feel like we've mentioned this a few times. But
multiple times.
Yeah, when sunlight hits the beer, it breaks down those alpha acids in the hops and makes like a skunky flavor. Or sometimes you get that, what is it, diacetyl?
Butyric acid.
Butyric acid. It's diacetyl. That's the buttery popcorn flavor, I think.
Don't quote me on that one either.
Yeah. But butyric acid is from like hop degradation, usually by age, I think. And
sun.
Yeah, and sun.
Right.
And that makes like that baby diaper taste. Sometimes, though, it's skunky.
The familiar is the best, I think, because it's more crisp. It's beautiful.
Yeah. This is Corona, Familiar, and Modelo are my favorite barbecue beers.
Really?
And when it's 4th of July, dude, you know what? Okay. My 4th of July barbecue, you know what it usually consists of?
Paps, like, some type of bison.
That's what you would think.
Hummus.
Right? Hummus. Mm-hmm. Interesting twist. I like that.
Yeah.
Close, but you're wrong, and I feel like you're going to love this.
Okay.
My favorite 4th of July barbecues that I've been to and that, like, I remember the most growing up. I mean, like, my dad would always do, like, you know, burgers and brats and that kind of shit.
Right.
My best friends growing up, Fabian and Luciano Cruz, I would go over to their house, and it was fucking Modelo's, and it was like ceviche and carne asada and chorizo. Where my dad was doing burgers and brats, they're having chorizo, which is like spicy Mexican sausage, and carne asada. And then, like, we'd sit down at this big table with everybody, and there was just like a plate full of carne asada, and people just grab it, fucking tear it apart.
It's different. So I guess bringing
radishes,
the Corona,
a lot of radishes too.
Wow. Yeah. Cause right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sliced radishes.
Yeah. Super thinly sliced.
That's why I kind of like the Corona, because to me, my Mexican heritage is very important to me. Not because I'm different than everyone else, but because in my mind, it's something that I relate to that I can explain.
Yeah.
Holly and I went to,
it's cool history, dude.
And I love it. We went to, Chichen Itza. We saw the old ruins, the temple ruins out there.
Yeah.
We were in Cancun for a wedding. Cody's wedding, actually. Not ironic, but happenly.
Yeah.
So we went out there.
Like the pyramids.
Yeah. So we went to the pyramids, and when I walked the grounds, and this is something I don't share a lot, when we walked the grounds, I felt like I've been there before. It was the weirdest. It felt familiar.
Yeah. Like, familiar.
Familiar. Yeah. So when we walked it, Holly kept going, "Are you okay?" And I'm like, "Yeah, but I feel like I've been here before."
Right.
We'd walk like 10 more feet or, 20 more yards, and all of a sudden I'd stop and be like, "I've been here before. What the hell? What the fuck's going on?"
Like tons of deja vu.
No, I'm serious. And so I always, talk to my I hold my Mexican roots strong, because to me it's just beautiful. I love my – don't get me wrong. I love my Caucasian and my American roots as well. I'm grateful for my mother. I really am. But the fact that I'm two races in one, it's like I get these beautiful two histories of two different kind of cultures.
Yeah.
And I really like that. So the fact that we're drinking a Mexican beer right now is – I don't know. It's nice, dude. It's making me feel hell yeah. Because that's what – independence is – America's a melting pot, period.
Yeah. It's a mix of so many
different
things. I don't
care if you're, white, yellow, black, pink, alien, green, purple – we're all human beings, dude.
Right.
And that's what I love about America. We're just here.
We're all here for the same reason. Like,
fuck yeah.
Like, whether you're – if you're a new immigrant to the United States, why do you come to the United States? You want a better life. You want freedoms.
Better life.
Dude, you want to be able to work.
Everyone
and provide
has
for your
one
family.
Life, as far as we know.
Yeah.
So live that life the best you can. And dude, America
– that's why my ancestors came here.
Exactly.
And everyone.
Why
first generation, fucking 20th generation. Doesn't matter. Like, we're here because, like – Our ancestors or us, like we as people saw a better life in
freedoms.
Yeah,
so I'm third generation.
I think that you are. Hell yeah, dude.
And that's
like,
I'm grateful. Yeah. My grandmother came and my grandpa came here to help start, because I'm blessed because of that.
Yeah.
So,
dude, that's what
it doesn't matter who
about.
You are. It doesn't matter. 4th of July, June 19th, whatever it is, fucking celebrate your independence.
Yeah.
Because America's great, dude.
We're free. Absolutely. And like, it's not perfect, you know, no. Like we can see that, you know, every day.
Absolutely.
You
can see that get reminded of perfect. That.
But like, you know what we can do is we can work together because we all have the same common love and goal as of being able to be free and provide for
just
our families.
Just be a good fucking human.
Exactly.
At the end of the day. And you know what? Drink a good beer and have a good barbecue.
Right.
What bad barbecues have you had? Why? You know, like what, have pure love and just good food and good, great beer, great drinks.
Right. And like softball.
Nah, dude, barbecues are fun, fucking man. Awesome, dude. Yeah. Summer's good. Summer's fun. Enjoy it while it lasts, guys. You know, if you guys do happen to have any of these beers at a barbecue, enjoy them.
Yeah.
For those who like, if there's different barbecue beers you guys know or like, let us know. We're going to do more barbecue episodes. I know Chandler wants to talk some Hellas style beers.
Hellas, and he's been into smoking lately.
Yeah,
right?
So we'll do some pairings with Chandler,
dude,
for sure.
Sweet.
But you got a couple more beers for us? Why?
Oh, do you think that maybe in a like a previous life you were the sacrifice, the human sacrifice at the temple?
Funny you say that. So they played this game where it's kind of like basketball. And they had this sideways hoop.
Yeah.
So champions would live. If you lost that game, you would die. So
that's an intense game.
I told this to Holly. And again, I haven't told this to anyone else besides Holly. But I feel like I have lost in that arena and I was beheaded.
Well.
Seriously. Because we went to – you couldn't go up to the top of one of the pyramids where you were sacrificed. But there's one part where your head was displayed. And I sat there and I got sick to my stomach. Like I remember walking by it, and I looked over to this kind of like, it's kind of like a long wall. Imagine like a probably shin height or knee height of wall that probably went probably a football length. And I looked at it, and I got queasy. I'm like, this is like the last thing I. Then after that, we kept walking past that, and nothing felt familiar to me anymore.
Right.
So think about it.
I
was familiar the whole time, but once I went past that place where they put the heads. Nothing was familiar to me anymore. So to me, it's like, I fucking lost. I didn't think of me as a champion. I mean, I want to be, obviously, but I fucking lost.
Well,
my team
stakes,
lost.
Definitely want to be.
You know what I mean? So it's like, I don't know, dude.
Yeah, that's rough.
I want to go back. I really do. Just to see, cool. Like, what could happen.
Yeah, maybe we can play that game.
I'm down, dude.
Obviously, without the, you know.
I would lose, it seems like. But but anyway, next one you got for me.
You want to drink the Dos Equis?
So you have the Dos Equis, and then you have – I got a special one for you, Wyatt. I have a Budweiser, Bud Heavy on nitro in a can.
I don't speak Spanish. Does Equis mean horse?
Equis means X.
Oh.
So Dos means two, so two X's. So Equis is X, Dos Equis.
Gotcha.
So Dos Equis is a lager. I love it. It's pretty well familiar, you know.
I don't always drink beer.
But when I do. That's a great commercial, right?
Yeah, it really is.
But
have you seen the Modelo commercial lately?
No, I have not.
Oh my god, dude! It's a good commercial. It plays a movie from or a song from one. Dude, growing up, my dad is a huge Clint Eastwood fan,
mm-hmm.
And he always plays like his most famous character is the Man with No Name, right?
Yeah.
And so, like the movies that have the Man with No Name. Like High Plains Drifter, Fistful of Dollars, Few Dollars More. And the most famous, I feel, one of the most famous Clint Eastwood movies, especially from that age, The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly.
Oh, absolutely.
Dude, one of the last songs played in like the climax scene, the gunfight between the good, the bad, and the ugly, fucking Angel and the Man with No Name and whatever the other dude, the criminal was,
right.
Who shot the rope. They have the gunfight and the song The Ecstasy of Gold plays.
Oh, that's old school, dude.
Yeah. And that's the Modelo commercial has been playing The Ecstasy of Gold and just do like basically just showing their label. And like
that's beautiful.
Dude, I don't usually watch commercials.
Simple is sometimes better.
Yeah. I don't usually watch commercials. Like if I see a commercial for something, it's very rare that I'm like, "Man, I want to go drink that beer. I want to go to that place. I want to go do that thing. I need Geico insurance, whatever." Like it's very rare that happens.
Right.
But like every time I see that commercial and I hear that song, and I'm like, fuck, I want a Modelo right now.
Yeah, but that's good marketing right there.
Yeah.
But going back to Dos Equis, Dos Equis is one of my favorite to-go lagers. So when we went to Mexico, my least favorite Mexican cerveza is Sol, which is Spanish for sun, and I hated it. So my go-to would be Dos Equis, because if I could – they didn't have Modelo or Pacific. Pacific was my jam. That's my all-time favorite. But Dos Equis was my life-saving lager because it had – kind of like those blended spices and malts in it with it. It's kind of like – it has like a spice to it to me. And I'm not saying like, You know what I mean? Like,
yep.
A subtle spice. It's not like yep. spicy. But to me, it's like, it's easy to drink.
Mm-hmm.
It's got that corn in it.
To me, Dos Equis really pairs well with like white people Mexican food.
Absolutely.
Cafe Rio, Costa yep. Vida.
Yep. Pairs well because it's easy.
Chipotle. Dude, fucking
Dos Equis. Chipotle, dude.
Either Dos Equis or Heineken. Those two remind me of each other a lot.
Yeah.
Even though Heineken, I think with that skunky flavor, really reminds me more of a Corona. But like for some reason, maybe it's just the colors. Dos Equis and Heineken.
But they both have the green can or the green bottle. Yeah. Anyway, so the last one I want to share is the Budweiser Nitro. It's Nitro Gold, the Reserve Gold. So I had this a couple days ago for the first time on the golf course. So I didn't know what – so on the can it says – go ahead. Read us the can on the side.
Yeah, gladly. Wow. This is a specialty golden lager brewed with 100% American barley, including toasted caramel malt for a bold, flavorful taste, elevated with nitro for a delicious, draught-like drinking experience, a thick, creamy head of foam, and a silky smooth finish. Budweiser Nitro Reserve.
I love when you read the cans, dude. I fucking love it. But for me, you and I can agree, nitro's pretty – like, we love nitro, but on the can it says...
In the right context, with the right beers.
Right beers. But for us, I think, you know, the ritual for this one is you have to shake it 3 times, flip it 3 times, and pour hard.
Okay.
That's what it says on the can.
Yeah.
But again, because I like... We had Bud Heavy on, I think, our second episode, our third episode with Sean, Brewmaster Sean, and we realized that Bud Heavy isn't bad.
Right.
It gets a bad name, bad rap, because it's you know, generalized, it's overpopulated. Anheuser-Busch is the juggernaut of fucking beers. And people – the reason why I kind of caved and got – I wanted to get Sam Adams Boston Lager, but I got Budweiser because it was first brewed in 1876. And everyone – it's basically – how I heard it put was it's the Ford Motor Company of beer. And why it's pouring it hard and fast. And that nitro gives it fucking thick head.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, dude, it's cool. It's settling, so I like that.
But to me, Budweiser is good. It's not great. I'm not going to go out of my way for it. I'd rather have craft beer. But the nitro, why? I want it, because you haven't had this one, right?
No. I've never had a lager on nitro before. I've only ever had British beers. Milds, bitters, stouts.
Tell me what you think, dude. I'm curious to know what you think of this Nitro Budweiser.
Makes me think of, like, you always hear about, like, people going to Germany and they're like, they're weird. They drink their beer warm and flat.
Yep. That's not weird, but yeah.
Right. That's not weird. That's how beer is, like, fucking originally served. That's what, like, I feel like this is trying to imitate. So, fucking warm and flat beer. Here we go.
Cheers, brother. But I'm very, very curious to know what you think.
It's like a really, really, really light hop aroma and flavor. And that's all.
Yeah, it wants to be creamy.
Yeah, it's just creamy.
Yeah.
It's like, it reminds me of drinking a glass of milk. Just regular.
But
like,
that's how creamy it is, dude. Yeah. So, because I'm used to the Guinness, you know, they have Nitro Guinness or the Breckenridge. We have a Breckenridge here, the Nitro Stout. But having a lager on Nitro, it's easy. This is crushable as fuck, dude.
Yeah.
And so, to me, when we were on the golf course, it was the optimal beer at that point.
Yeah, I could, especially in the golf course, the beer always ends up getting warm.
And this one on nitro being a little bit warm.
Warm and flat, dude.
It worked, dude.
The only thing you were missing was fucking beer stein.
The only thing is, Cody and Michael hit fucking dingers, and I could not hit the ball after I drank this. They, totally fine. So, I guess this made me play worse, and they played better.
Uh-huh.
But still,
you need the Pacifico.
I'm going to bring my beer of choice next time.
Right. And if you want it warm and flat, just fucking shake it first.
Absolutely. Should do it. But anyway, guys, so that's that for our 4th of July episode. Again, happy 4th of July. Wherever you guys are, be safe. Have a fun barbecue if you're going to barbecue. Those where you come from, your family, just tell them thanks. Be grateful for, you know,
let us,
some gratitude.
Let us know what your favorite 4th of July beer is. We want to know. And as always, if you have things that you want to try, you want us to try, you think are fucking great beers that we haven't got to yet and they're just so underappreciated.
Yeah.
give us your honorable mentions. So we'll,
yeah,
because
we have a bunch of people reaching out to us to bring them on in future episodes, and we're ready to bring you on. A lot of people, a lot of our guests have come on because they've wanted to talk about certain beers.
Yeah.
Again, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, reach us, hit us up, shout us out. You know, if you guys need something, let us know.
Yeah.
We're here. We are the Tastemasters. Thank you so much for listening. When knowledge increases, behavior changes. Handle your shit during this holiday. Be yeah. safe, please. Remember who we are, what you stand for. Until the next beverage, bros.
America!
Hey, guys. Thanks for listening. This has been David and Wyatt on Tastemasters.